miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I got to read a text here real quick. 239 says, who is the only person to keep Michael Jordan under 20 points per game? Answer, Dean Smith. Let me drop a little history on all of you.
Don't go Dan Dockett right here.
Sweet
don't
16.
Don't go Dan Dockett right now.
1984.
Yeah.
Dan Dockett, who I'll just say politely is built like me, looks a lot like me, shut down Michael Jordan, 13 points, 6 of 14 shooting. Indiana won that game, by the way. This isn't even one of the games where Indiana beat North Carolina for the final like we did twice of our five championships. This is Sweet 16, beat number one North Carolina 72-68. So, there.
How many years since IU's been dancing?
Dancing?
Dancing. Just getting into the thing. We don't even, I'm not even saying win a game.
Well, there's going to be a big asterisk on that now because we were going this year.
You were.
Uh-huh. Hey, yeah. Well, 84 was also the year. That's when Patrick Ewing was so pissed. I mean, the year before was Valvano's team, and then 84 was all about Georgetown. And Freddie Brown actually had a real good game, and John Thompson, first player he hugged. But Ewing, there was no one's going to beat that Georgetown team that year. They beat Houston, I believe, in the final. And then next year was Villanova, Georgetown in that classic, which Craig says he wouldn't really watch because Villanova didn't deserve to be there.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just teasing.
What was that? What was the game where Ewing came out and intentionally got three goaltendings right in the first two minutes?
That was against North Carolina in the beginning. In 82,
The intimidator.
No, Thompson kept telling him, take it back, take it back. Yeah. He had five goaltending.
Trying to intimidate. Who won that game?
Yeah, but that was a great game.
All right, reset here. I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepard, Pete and Benita. I am here in Estero. Chris is here in Estero behind a glass wall. We are social distancing. And in case you missed it, Ron DeSantis is issuing a shutdown order effective of midnight tomorrow.
Stay at home for
the whole state of Florida. I am hearing more and more restaurants and restaurateurs texting in saying that they will be allowed to stay open and do delivery and takeout just like they have been.
Right.
So I'm very thankful for that, for them. For them. I mean, that's fantastic news.
Well, I hope
Do I owe 239 an apology? Does nothing really change?
No.
Maybe.
You don't.
I don't. Okay.
No, because
all this is going to be a struggle. Let's put it this way. Like, if you're just kind of nonchalantly driving down to Fort Myers Beach, are you going to get pulled over? Maybe. You know, like, what are you doing? Where are you going? But if you're seeing it, you can go to a restaurant and pick up food, go to a grocery store, pharmacy, liquor store, whatever. Those are essential businesses. Those are. I know some dog groomers are allowed to stay open as well. They're considered essential. So if you have a dog, I know that's important to a lot of people. I'm not sure about hairstyle. I'm not sure about, people who cut hair. I don't really know that.
Chris has got his mullet cut at some point.
I can't find anybody.
Dude, your mullet that you've started here since February, now you're locked in going all of April. You'll go another 4 weeks without a haircut, minimum.
Oh, I know. It's going to be solid.
You're going to look like Joe Exotic before this is over with. I'm telling you. Interesting. All right.
Matt, our stream song partner, says, oh, my God, if half of Pete's useless knowledge was actually useful, he would have probably already found a cure for the coronavirus. I say that all the time. I don't know if I say – so I say thank you, Matt? Thank you, I guess?
Yes. Full probably of
my
useless
Brady Bunch Sound of Music reference.
That's how you fill 4 hours a day. Useless information. It's fun. It's fun. All right, I'm going to give you some actual information. Here's what I want to try and accomplish this hour, which I didn't last hour, but I wanted to, but we didn't. I want to go over what Jeff Pass said to the NFL about them. I want to juxtapose that with Adam Schefter's comments about how the NFL is being stupid. Adam Schefter almost never says anything bad about the NFL. And then later on, Pete, you've got what, the top 15 trick shots or trick plays of all time?
Trick plays an all time. I disagree with a couple of them, but we'll go through them. They're really good. I also got a great NFL list, short one, and a good college football list, another short one, but interesting stuff nonetheless.
Okay.
Because that's what we do.
Nonetheless. All right. And being 4 o'clock, we have a new word going on for about another 5 minutes in the Sheeman Shepherd Cash Grab where you can win $500 right now. The word is demand, D-E-M-A-N-D. Text that into the text number 45911. you could win $500 like in the next 3 minutes if you do it right now. Do it! Do it!
And Craig demands.
I demand you
commands.
Do it.
He demands you to do it.
And if you do it through our app, you'll be registered to win the $10,000 grand prize May 11th. So
815 wants to know, can we still go fishing? I don't know the answer to that. I know they were cutting down last weekend on boats and, you know, as far as 10 people on a boat, and you have to really practice social distancing on a boat. But I don't know the answer to that right now.
Okay.
If you can still fish or not.
We're all learning it together. We'll all find out. We, however, believe it or not, are essential personnel. We are allowed to remain on the air. I'm allowed to travel to the studio. Pete doing it from home. So if I do get pulled over and I can't, then Pete will be by himself. No, but see, on all seriousness, we, part of the emergency broadcast system, we can do it. So this show will continue.
Keep that piece of paper in your glove compartment, by the way.
I got it.
Okay.
I got it. I'm all set. So, and no matter if your listening habits change, whether you normally listen to us in the car, maybe you're stuck at home, you can listen on an app, or, hey, I know some of you still have radios in the house. So we'll still be here. Hopefully you'll still be here, and we'll just continue to get through this next 30 days together. All right. Now, all this shutting down, all this stuff going on, all this talk about sports, Jeff Pasch is the NFL Executive Vice President and Lead Counsel for the NFL. Keep in mind, I'm presuming he's also based in New York, which is ground zero for coronavirus. He says the league is still planning on a full, on-time, regular season in front of fans.
Our planning, our expectation is fully directed at playing a full season, starting on schedule. All of our discussions, all of our focus has been on a normal, traditional season, starting on time, playing in front of fans in our regular stadiums, and going through the full 16-game regular season and a full set of playoffs. If things take a different turn, then we'd have to address it in a more substantial way. But for the time being, we're pretty confident that we'll be able to go on schedule.
Is this an April Fool's joke? I mean, as I sit here on April 1st, this seems like a pipe dream. Like, are they not making contingency plans?
I think they are. Right? Maybe it's their way of trying to, I don't know, a little positive energy. I don't know. I think it's a pipe dream. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not going to be any OTAs. We know that. There's not going to be any mini camps.
Right.
Look, I hope there's football in September. That's what I'm hoping for.
All right. Now, Adam Schefter, I have not heard this cut. You tweeted it out. He's railing on the NFL for acting like business as usual. Is that the
last night on Scott Van Pelt? Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a listen. This is Adam Schefter.
And we all hope that it happens, frankly. We all want that back. We all want to see the days where we have that distraction of football. But OTAs, that's not happening. Yeah. The offseason program, that's not happening. The draft is happening only through the sheer force and determination and lack of foresight from Phil, frankly. I mean, they are determined to put this on while there is carnage in the streets.
All right, so he doesn't think the draft should go on as scheduled. My question is, if it's going to be a draft where we've already eliminated the fanfare and everybody's doing it for Roger Goodell, at the last I heard, is going to be in his house on some sort of video technology, and they've asked the top 50 prospects to be ready at home in front of their computers. I mean, this quality is going to suck, but what's the harm in that?
I think the way I looked at it, and that was done, I believe, late last night. I was on Scott Van Pelt's show, and maybe I appreciate Adam's convictions, no question about it. He made it just maybe catches him at a bad time. You know, he's been on the air. Not that, you know, he's not going to get a lot of sympathy from a lot of people, but he's on the air all the time over there. It was late at night, and maybe he's just frustrated. Maybe he's had colleagues now over there that have the virus. I think it just kind of all got to him, and he just let loose in that little 30-second clip there because he never does stuff like that. And I don't know. Maybe it was just bad moment, bad time, bad place kind of thing. Because he never, ever says stuff like that.
No,
ever.
No.
He's saying the NFL doesn't have their priorities in line.
Yes, that's what he's saying.
But
and you know, like you said, he's never one to bite the hand that feeds him. Unlike that one employee at Tiger King who had her arm ripped off. But sorry,
she went back to work. She shook it off.
she shook it off. She slash he, from what I understand. Really did shake it off. That was impressive, I guess, or stupid.
Back on the job, what, 7 days later?
Yes.
Something crazy like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, left the hospital within 2 days. In fact, no, that she slash he had the option of 2 years worth of reconstructive surgery or just cut it off completely. And she slash he said, just cut it off. I'm done. And back to work in 7 days. No yep. arm. How about that? I'd say reconstruct that baby every way. I don't want to lose
a limb. I still think, and this may be really superficial, out of everything that I saw, everything in those seven episodes,
mm-hmm.
I can't get past the pizza. I can't. I cannot get past that they used that Walmart dump truck full of used or expired meat and claimed it was all made from scratch, a pizza. I wish they had done more time with it because yeah. you didn't see any employees eat. You only saw was the owner. You didn't see anybody. You didn't see any tourists eating the pizza.
No, no.
I'm reading the official order right now from Governor DeSantis, and it says specifically in here, recreational activities consistent with social distancing guidelines such as walking, biking, hiking, fishing, hunting, running, or swimming, that is allowed.
Except we can't go to the beaches. So
what about golf?
Pete, I just read you what it said. It does not say golf in there. It says walking, biking, hiking, fishing, hunting, running, and swimming. Take that for what it's worth.
All right.
All right.
So anybody that was going to go fishing this weekend, you're good.
Okay. This isn't one of those... ask for forgiveness, not permission situations. I know that they were allowed to fish. Going up to this point, if you had a boat and access to a boat, you could go boating, even though they closed all the beaches. You could do that.
Yeah, I said.
The problem was they were all bunching up together on the sandbars and tying up and had 20 people on a boat, right?
And you had people in chairs sitting on sand barges out there, you know, having a good old time, which, you know, I get it, but... Who just texted? Green Falcon says, Wingo said earlier this morning, Schefter had been going at it since early morning, Sports Center all the way to Van Pelt. Okay, maybe so.
It's a little tired.
Yeah.
We're all a little tired. It's incredible.
Actually, I'm feel kind of refreshed.
Yeah, the commute's killing you, huh?
Fantastic. Well, I'm hoping to get one more round in tomorrow, hopefully more. I hope, you know, they canceled tennis at our place yesterday, but that doesn't really affect me anymore.
No.
But golf is still going strong. Yeah. Hopefully, at least maybe get one more round in tomorrow. Somebody asks, it's Thursday at basically Thursday night, 11:59 and 59 seconds. That's how much longer you have until this goes into effect.
There you go.
It actually is Friday at 12:01 a.m.
Yeah, okay. But I'm saying, okay, give me the 2 seconds, please.
He's reading the DeSantis issue here for the order.
And it's for
30 days.
Yes.
It actually goes through the end of the month. So it goes through April 30th. So it's not quite 30 days.
What do you mean? Oh, because it starts tomorrow.
Yeah,
so it's 29
April,
days.
It's technically April 3rd to April
30th. And a half days?
Yeah.
28 and a half days.
Yeah, it's the 3rd to the 30th. So it's not quite 30. It's 4 weeks.
I stand corrected. All right.
It's amazing what you can learn when you read.
Well, yeah. And, you know, and sometimes we have to read while we're also talking live.
No, I know. Well, that's why I thought right now I should take the time and read it's only 4 pages.
That's a little lengthy.
Sorry, 4.5 pages.
Okay.
I'm just passing along, guys.
Oh, no, I know.
Smiley texts in, what changes on Friday?
Gosh.
Look, people are just getting in their cars. Ron DeSantis is issuing a stay-at-home order for the entire state of Florida, effective 12:01 a.m. Thursday night, Friday morning. There. That's as simple as I could put it.
If you want to go see what is considered essential, you can go to floridadisaster.org.
That sounds like a serious website.
They'll have a list right there.
That's a serious website.
I
want
to go back because Florio seconds ago just posted a story, his counter to what Adam Schefter says. And what's interesting about it is, remember, earlier this week, Roger Goodell did not want anybody who's associated with the NFL to speak about the draft in any way, shape, or form. But that does not apply to the media. So after Schefter gave his statement there, what he said, his analysis, here's what Florio said. Point taken, but here's the counter. As thousands deal with the extreme, severe, and in way too many cases, fatal effects of COVID-19, millions contend with the day-to-day drudgery of existing in a warped reality of every day being the same 6 a.m. I got you, babe, as the last. So that's a reference to Groundhog Day. With nowhere to go, relatively small range of things to do, and no end in sight. The draft will give millions of football fans something positive to anticipate, balancing out the dredge of mushrooming tally of lives claimed by the coronavirus and a mountain of worries regarding the full extent of the damage this will cause. The draft will give millions of football fans a shared mutual experience for 3 days in April at a time when the never-ending crush of bad news will make a respite from it even more important to the collective mental health of those who have yet to be affected by the virus personally.
Okay.
And I kind of agree with that. I get it. I understand both sides.
Well, and it continues to go back to, you know, like there's no guarantee April 23rd through 25th, right? That's when the NFL draft is scheduled for.
Yes.
Like if the NFL, because we played the soundbite from Jeff Pasch saying that the NFL is operating right now as if we're going to start the season on time, playing in front of sold out stadiums.
Yes.
If they're working under that model, they have to get a draft in at some point. You've got to get rookies their playbooks and at least let them FaceTime with their position coaches so they can start working on some things.
Right.
As Schefter said right there, we're not doing OTAs. I mean, training camp, the start of training camp is kind of looking gray right now. Well, start of training camp is what, mid-July?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit later.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna forget that.
I'm hoping my July 1st deadline is.
So look, if the NFL's operating that they're moving forward, not business as usual, but we're starting the season in beginning of September, they've got to start. They had to start free agency when they did. They had to get the draft. They have to get the draft in at the end of the month when it was scheduled.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
But it is interesting getting back to Schefter because he does conclude and. Look, he says it was a brave stand to take, even if it took the stand not long after suggesting that the 2020 draft, which he did, should be a full week, one round per night affair. He works for one of the networks. He'll be televising the draft. He'll be on the air throughout the 3 days of draft coverage. It's also a network that has a $1 billion partnership with the league, and that is believed by many to be on the brink. It's via its parent company of expanding that partnership from Monday night to Thursday night and more. It is going to be interesting for Adam, I think, over the next couple of days and leading into the draft, let's see if he's asked about it again. Those comments, I would imagine there's already been a memo out to a lot of his colleagues at least at ESPN saying, don't talk about it anymore.
Hmm. Yeah,
that part of it.
Yeah,
don't talk about it anymore. Just focus on the positive. I'd be stunned if there wasn't a memo that was sent out.
I don't doubt that. Yeah. All right, coming up, I want to get to your top 15 trick plays.
Yeah.
We'll do that next. In an effort to help out the community here, I just want to let you know that despite that everything that's going on, we're highlighting different local restaurants that are still open for business throughout this. And from what we're hearing today, this even includes through the stay-at-home order by Ron DeSantis starting tomorrow. Still, you could go to restaurants like Gather in Cape Coral at 5971. That's the name of the restaurant, Gather, on Silver King Road. You can order takeout by calling 239-673-9939. Check out their full menu online at gathercape.com. Check it out. Sheba to Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN. Finally, three something times. I Sheik. Can groove to.
Yeah. Sheik.
We thought it was Chick.
No, Sheik. They also sang LaFreak back in the day.
LaFreak was one of my favorites. Another one of my favorites from my childhood. Out.
Had to dance. I'll never forget. I had to dance sixth grade. I didn't want to, but we all did a variety show in sixth grade, 1979.
Yes. What was your role?
And had to do some sort of dance. And my partner, her name was Robin. Very nice.
Robin with an I or a Y?
An I believe.
Okay.
Now, what was the two of you danced to?
Well, it was a lot. It was like there was like five couples that had to dance to the song, kind of a disco type of John Travolta, Saturday Night Fever type of way.
Was it like a dance off where you would like do your move and then point to the next person and they would do
their move? No, it was kind of like a line dance back in the day, sort of a semi line dance. And she was my partner.
And how did you do?
I think we did pretty good. We had to perform it three times in one day. It wasn't bad. I don't think it was horrible.
Huh. I'm pretty good.
I also had a piano solo that day, three times I had to do it. And the first one went terrific. The second one, and if you don't know the piano, middle C is a very important key.
Very important.
It was an older piano, and when my thumb went to hit this particular chord as I was playing this classical music piece, it flipped up off the keyboard, hit me in the head, and I had no middle C.
You have no touch. You were hitting it too hard, Pete.
No, it was an old crappy piano, and I had a feeling while I was warming up. I go, oh boy, this isn't really good. And it happened. And anyway, I got a standing ovation for making it work. It rattled me, obviously, right? You know, it kind of rattled me, but I just kept going and did what I had to do.
What classical piece did you perform?
It was called, if I remember correctly. You probably laugh. It was called Lilac Time Serenade.
Chris, can you find that?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I want to say it was Bach or Chopin. I can't remember.
Really?
It was only about 90 seconds, 2 minutes, but it was a shortened version of it.
Not Hot Cross Buns?
No.
No.
Oh, and no. Add decent classical music to stuff I like as well. I like that genre. I just don't like country and most rap.
Love how you throw the qualifier out. Decent classical music.
Well, I'm not going to listen to junk.
I'm not going to listen.
Of course not.
God. Mozart and Mozart, Beethoven. Don't give me Bach Chopin, and Brahms. Don't give me that Brahms lullaby crap.
Bach was pretty decent. spinning the stacks of wax back then, huh?
Overrated.
All right, Beethoven, deaf. Overrated. Should have been better. Only 9 symphonies? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Did 11 in my sleep.
I don't even think he finished the 9th one. I think it's still, I don't know. I can't remember.
Mozart writing a concerto at 6? You kidding me? The hell? Should have been writing it at 3.
Prodigy.
2.
Yeah, his parents went easy on him. Probably playing too many video games. Wasting time. All right, Pete, you've got a list of, what is this now? Trick plays of all time?
This is an April Fool's top trick plays in sports history. Now, I disagree with some. They have the top 15 here. I'm going to go from 15 to 1.
Okay.
I'll go through them all, and then you tell me if they would be on your list. Because I've seen some here, and I can think of some others as well. But we'll they're all good. They're all good. But,
okay.
All right, so.
And now, a list.
Number 15, kicker and punter combined for special team score. This happened December 1st of last year, 2019.
Fins up, Dolphins!
Yes, Dolphins kicker Jason Sanders catches a touchdown pass from punter Matt Hack versus the Eagles.
We were watching that play earlier today. Why was that on?
NFL Live was running the best trick plays in NFL history.
Yeah.
Yep. Number 14, Rams outthink Seahawks for a punt return touchdown October 19th, 2014.
That one was played as well.
The Rams used misdirection on a punt return between Tavon Austin and Stedman Bailey for a return score.
Yeah, Tavon Austin ran all the way to the right side of the field. Bailey was on the left side of the field. Punt went to the left. Everybody else went to the right. Really good play.
Yeah. Are these all football, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. They are all football, NFL, and college.
So no hidden ball trick?
No.
Right.
Oh, actually, no. I'm sorry. There's a couple baseball here. Okay. Number 13, Nebraska versus Miami, 84, one of the greatest college football games ever at the Orange Bowl, January 1st, 1984. Nebraska, a huge, gigantic favorite, down 17-0 on a third down in Miami territory. Nebraska successfully attempted to fumble Vrusky. Quarterback Turner Gill intentionally fumbled the ball with offensive lineman Dean Steinkohler picking up and running the other direction for a touchdown. Nebraska, though, still lost 31-30 to the Mighty Hurricanes.
All right.
Number 12, February 5th, 2006, Steelers reverse pass versus Seahawks. Super Bowl.
Yeah, in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Antoine Randall L. Remember him, Craig?
Indiana University!
Takes a reverse and fires a 43-yard touchdown pass to Hines Ward to ice the Steelers' Super Bowl win over the Seahawks.
And so, Craig, how does it make you feel as an Indiana football fan that your greatest quarterback in school history went on to be a great wide receiver in the NFL?
I'm not feeling awesome about it.
Why?
I would prefer that we had some standouts. Probably would have meant more wins in college and more people to be proud of in the NFL. Fact.
Number 11, Michigan State fake field goal beats Notre Dame September 18, 2010. I remember this.
Yep.
I remember all bad Notre Dame beats. Great. Michigan State lines up for a field goal to tie Notre Dame in overtime and force an additional OT holder. Aaron Bates takes the snap, rolls right, throws a strike to Charlie Grant for a game-winning touchdown. Sparty wins.
Sparty.
10. Number 10, a walk-off pickoff. Trine University softball advances to the D3 College World Series after pitcher Kate Sape fakes a throw to second on a pickoff attempt. And the second base, shortstop, and center fielder all earn Oscars with the acting. SUNY's Geneseo runner tries to advance. Sape runs and tags her out. And the Thunder advance out of the Super Regionals on a walk-off pickoff.
That was a balk, by the way. She got away with it.
No, it was not a balk.
Should have been.
It was not a balk.
Should have been.
No.
Should have been.
And you know what? To do the hidden ball trick in Major League Baseball, people like remember the Bad News Bears and breaking training. No, you can't do that. You can do the hidden ball trick. The pitcher cannot be on the rubber.
No, you're right about that.
The pitcher can't even be on the mound. The pitcher has to be walked off the mound.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it. You can't be on the rubber, and you got to be off the mound. Anyway, number 9, Mike Legg scores the Michigan goal March 24th, 1996. Legg found himself behind the net in a game against Big Ten rival Minnesota, and he unveiled what would be henceforth known as the Michigan goal. He picked the puck up with a stick and tucked it into the top shelf from behind the net where Mama keeps the Thin Mints. Remember that play? The puck was literally on his stick.
Where Mama keeps the Thin Mints? Because it was up high?
Yeah.
Who called that? That's a great call.
It is,
yeah. Yeah, actually, Rick Jenneret, who was a great play-by-play announcer for the Buffalo Sabres for years, used to always talk about the cookie jar. Phil Housley, top right shelf, it's in a cookie jar.
Nice.
Anyway, Music City Miracle, January 2000. The Bills leading the Titans 16-13 inside the final 30 seconds of their playoff game. Tennessee's Lorenzo Neal hauls in Steve Christie's kickoff after his go-ahead field goal. Neal tosses to Frank Wycheck, who fires a lateral to his left to Kevin Dyson, who sprints down the sideline untouched for the game-winning touchdown.
That play would be legal in the XFL, but not here. That was a forward lateral, we all know.
I disagree.
It was not a forward lateral.
It was so close. It was right on the line.
It was an angle across the line. It was illegal.
There was no angle across the line.
No. I disagree.
Yeah, you didn't. Bad TV coverage by you. Number 7, Messi free kick deception. February 14th, Valentine's Day of 2016.
Unbelievable. Yeah, you're right.
Lionel Messi had a chance at his 300th career league goal as he set up to attempt a penalty kick against Celta Vigo with Barcelona already up 3-1. But instead, Messi laid the ball off to teammate Luis Suarez, who scored to complete his hat trick.
Must have been an exciting
So it was a penalty kick, you know, where they put the ball
from
on the dot.
Yeah, you don't have to. You don't have to kick it at the goal.
And then they just kick it at the goal.
Yeah.
And 99.9999% of the time, that's what happens. But Messi just cleverly just laid the ball off to the right. Suarez came in, threw everybody for a loop.
Huh. How come they don't have more often since it was so successful?
Suarez, a biter, actually.
He bit a guy?
Multiple times he's bitten guys.
Well, you need to get him out of the league.
He got suspended for like 3 months from all football for biting.
Okay. Oh.
He bit a dude from Italy, Cialini.
Really?
That's right.
Yeah, in the World Cup.
Horrible. All right, number six. This is where I disagree. Not because we're against the Patriots. I just think this play has been done forever in college and pro sports.
Oh, don't minimize the Philly special.
The Philly special. It's the fourth and goal for the Eagles against the Patriots in the second quarter of Super Bowl 52. Running back Corey Clement takes a direct snap, pitches to wide receiver Trey Burton, who tosses a touchdown pass to Nick Foles.
Great play.
Foles become the first player to catch and throw a touchdown in Super Bowl history.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a great play, but it's something we've all seen a million times.
Yeah, but
not on that level.
In the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Super Bowl,
yeah,
dude.
That's, I'll give you that. I will give you that. Anyway, number five, Trevor Booker circus shot, January 9th, 2015. Trevor Booker makes a flip shot of the year. Booker taps the ball over his head backwards into the basket with just 0.2 seconds left on the shot clock.
I remember that.
Yep. Number four, Miami Dolphins Wildcat takes down the Patriots in Foxborough, September 21st, 2008.
Fins
this
up.
Is number four?
Only team making an appearance twice on this list.
Miami Dolphins used the Wildcat formation to beat the Patriots in Foxborough, capped by a touchdown pass by running back Ronnie Brown. Brown had five touchdowns on the day with four on the ground and the one passing score. And yes, they completely bamboozled the Patriots. That was in Foxborough as well.
Yes, it was.
Rematch didn't go all that well in Miami for the Dolphins.
Brown, lefty. People found out that day when he threw a touchdown pass with his left hand.
What's funny is, and I'm almost positive this stat is true, the next eight times that somebody tried a Wildcat formation against the Patriots, they allowed 1 yard. They were embarrassed that day by the Dolphins.
They were embarrassed that day by the Dolphins.
Oh, totally embarrassed. They caught them off guard, and they had no adjustment for it, and it was the Dolphins deserved to kick their butt. But if I remember the rematch, the Patriots got them pretty good in Miami.
Nobody really remembers that game.
I never understood why the Wildcat really worked. I mean, everybody knew what it was. You get the ball, you either go left, you go right. It was overly simplistic. You should be able to stop it every time. I don't know why it was successful.
Yeah, it was that day. Big time. Number three. This is one of my favorites. Dan Marino clock play against the Jets at the Meadowlands. See, another
three
reference to the Miami Dolphins.
Three appearances.
The Dolphins driving for the winning score, trailing by three with 38 seconds left. Quarterback Dan Marino motioned to his offense. He was going to clock the ball, stop the clock. He faked the clock motion, then fouled an open Mark Ingram for the game-winning touchdown. Miami, by the way, had trailed 17-0 earlier in the game, and the Jets led by 10.
What a great list.
Quarter.
That was a great list.
That was a great
best
a great
list
play.
Ever.
Especially was against the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Louisville Duke women's basketball inbound play. Louisville sent three of its players to the backcourt when the Cardinals inbound the ball to start the second half at Duke. The ball is inbounded to Mariah Moore, who cruises to a wide-open layup. That was They threw that in because they needed a woman's play in there. But that's not a top 15 play. Give me a break.
Misogynist Pete Shepard.
No, not that. I can think of a lot of other great women basketball plays than that.
Number one needs to be the Boise State against Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl, right?
Number 1B, Boise State hooking ladder to beat Oklahoma in the same game, January 1st, 2007. The Broncos have 4th and 18 at midfield. 18 seconds remaining, down by 7. Boise State's Jared Zabransky completes a pass down the middle to Dryson James, who tosses a lateral to Gerard Rabb, who raced the remaining 35 yards into the end zone. Boise tied the game and forced the overtime with the ensuing PAT. And number one is indeed Boise State Statue of Liberty to beat Oklahoma in 2007, January 1st, 2007. In overtime, Boise State scores a touchdown to pull within one after Oklahoma had scored a touchdown in its opening possession. The Broncos elect to go for two. And the win, instead of trying with the PAT, quarterback Jared Zabransky fakes the throw to his right, hands the ball off behind him to Ian Johnson, who sprints into the end zone to convert the game-winning two-point conversion. Johnson proposes to his girlfriend, a Boise State cheerleader, after the game. And yes, she did say yes.
Still married to this day.
Are they?
I made that up.
Come on.
Totally made that up. I don't know. It's April Fool's Day. I don't
know. Hopefully they are. Nobody gets divorced in Idaho.
This isn't right.
Oh, by the way, Idaho had like a 6.3 earthquake yesterday. Did you see that?
Yes, they did. Oh. Yeah.
You know, and that's not too far from Yellowstone, which they say is the largest volcano in North America. Like it could like really blow. It's like 300,000 years past due.
Yeah.
It's going to really rock half of the country.
Yeah.
Quantum Leap says no Tim Tebow jump pass. How about the one?
Yeah.
How about the one?
Is a jump pass really a trick play?
Well, you didn't see it every day till Tebow did it.
Mm.
I don't know. How about where the Lions fooled Jerome Bettis into calling the wrong heads or tails before the overtime of Thanksgiving Day? That's a great trick play.
How about Adam Vinatieri's touchdown pass against the Rams in 2003? That was a great play.
I don't even remember that one.
Troy Brown, I believe, yeah.
Wow. How about that? It's a good list.
That's a good list.
All right.
Oh, hold on. Okay.
Breaking news?
No, I'm trying to figure out, because we've gotten a couple people texting in, and I'm going on Twitter that Von Miller had been released. I'm thinking, what? That makes no sense. April Fool's joke. Bad April Fool's joke.
Oh, yeah.
You got him.
No, they didn't get me. They got, actually. That's what happened. Textures got. I didn't get got. I got on my phone and went on Twitter to try to find this thing out, and not true.
Fact. Unfact.
Well, what's Wikipedia today?
Wikipedia today. Today is Bo Schembechler's birthday, Pete Shepard.
Oh, God.
So dust off your Michigan Wolverine trivia.
All right.
Caller number 9 right now. Wikipedia, 20 Mo Bucks on the line. And, yes, you still can pick up at Mo's. They are still in business with everything that's going on. So Mo's Southwest Grill, check them out. Caller number 9, 239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776. Wikipedia next. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia.
All right, today is Bo Schembechler's birthday. He was born in 1929. We're going to do Michigan trivia. Pete Shepard, caller number 9 is Raider Mike. Raider Mike, welcome. Raider Mike. How are you?
Boys.
All right.
All right, you know how this
round
works. First one, two, three correct answers is the winner. Raider Mike, you get to go first. Here's your first question. What is the nickname of the stadium where Michigan plays their home games?
Big House.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Pete Shepard.
Yes.
What year did Michigan last win a share of the Natty?
Talk about football?
Well, yeah.
Yes, this is all Michigan football.
Oh, it's all Michigan football. Okay.
Yeah.
That was in, that was Lloyd Carr, right?
Not answering that.
'97?
Yes!
Oh,
good math there, Pete Shepard. All right, we have a 1-1 tie. Raider Mike, what is the name of Michigan's fight song?
Oh, man. I don't know. Hail to the Chief, I would guess.
Not Hail to the Chiefs. Pete Shepard, would you like to take a stab at it?
Hail to the Chiefs.
That's a Washington Redskins, but close. It is Hail to... Hail to victory?
Hail to the victors, or the victors. Yeah. We would have accepted that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you don't get a point for that, though.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. No, sorry.
What?
I didn't know.
No, that was Raider Mike's question.
Oh, that's right. Pete. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's still 1-1 at this point. Pete Shepard, here's your next question.
Yep.
On November 18, 2006, number 2 ranked Michigan played what Big Ten opponent that was ranked number 1 in a game that was dubbed the game of the century?
Say that again. What year?
2006. Michigan was number 2. Their opponent was number 1. It was dubbed the game of the century. Who was the opponent?
Give me the date again.
2006.
No, but what? Okay, but I'm trying to. Game of the century. Ohio State.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say. Right. See, I was overthinking it. I was overthinking it.
You were overthinking
it. I was overthinking it.
By the way, Bo Schembechler died the night before that game.
Really?
That's right.
Yes.
Huh.
Yes.
That's right.
All right, Pete, you have a precarious 2-1 lead. It is time for Raider Mike with this question. What team does Michigan play every year for the Little Brown Jug?
Isn't that Indiana?
No, it is not.
No.
Pete, for fun, do you know what it is?
I believe it's Minnesota.
It is Minnesota, but you don't get a point there. However, Pete, if you get this question right, you get a point and the win. Mm-hmm. Pete Shepard, how many national championships did the Wolverines win under legendary coach Bo Schembechler?
This is another one. Was it None.
That is correct. Pete Shepard, you are a winner.
Great job, Pete.
All right, Raider Mike, good job. Thanks for listening,
job,
as
Raider
always.
Mike.
I always appreciate it, man. And stay safe.
I've been listening even in Oregon and Vegas. So,
all right, anyway.
Awesome.
Appreciate it, bud.
We always
thanks,
appreciate
man.
It.
Good work, boys. I'm essential, too, so I'll be out here listening.
Okay, thank you. Right. You are essential.
Great.
Thank you.
You are essential.
Our listeners are essential. I appreciate it. All right. Nicely done there, Pete Shepard. Two more questions here on the list.
Right.
Name one of the three Heisman Trophy winners in Michigan history.
What's his name? Killed us in the Super Bowl.
Just one.
Packers. I know. He's on College Game Day. I'm having a brain crack.
Yeah, he is.
God,
what is his name?
Sure is.
What is his name?
Sits right there at the table with Lee Corso.
Oh, my gosh. He's...
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Camera left
me.
A Fowler?
Yeah.
Who is that guy?
He's the African-American guy on the set.
Desmond Howard. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I would have accepted Charles Woodson or Tom Harmon as well.
Mm-hmm.
What was the nickname of former Michigan quarterback Denard Robinson?
Oh, that's interesting. Denard Robinson.
And he played for, who's the guy from San Diego State that the coach?
Denard.
The fat one.
Yeah.
Hired and fired again.
Yes. He was in over his head. I can't remember his name.
Denard
Not
Robinson.
Look that up.
I don't remember.
Oh my goodness gracious! What is this guy's name? Gosh!
I'm gonna get the coach. I will tell you the nickname for Denard Robinson was Shoelace. Nobody would have got that.
I got it. I would have gotten it.
Would you have?
Yeah, he was one of my favorite Michigan players of all time. Because
really?
He didn't tie his shoes. I mean, how cool is that?
He did a lot of running around for no
for
tied
not tying
shoes.
His shoe. Brady Hoke.
Brady Hoke.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just came into my mind all of a sudden, like
Brady
a picture
Hoke, yeah.
of Brady Hoke.
Now we'll get the text on 20-second delay. All right, that's it. Listen, I got to tell you, I've had numerous hot takes today. I know I'm known for 5 o'clock hot take, Craig. I don't know what I'm going to dig deep. Okay.
You don't have to.
Well, I got a couple of lists. You don't have to dig deep.
No, I mean, I got to dig deep for my hot takes. That's what people tune in at 5 o'clock for the Craig hot take, because some people think I become this extra different person at 5 o'clock. I was pretty on fire at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 4 o'clock. Like, I came ready to play. I mean, when the game started, I was on my A game. Let's see if I got anything left in the tank as I dig down deep.
Okay.
Hey, also, Chris, if you want, I just retweeted it from NFL Update. Patriots head coach Bill Belichick has issued a video message. It's 1 minute and 2 seconds.
Yeah, I saw that. So if you want to go listen to that, you can go to Pete Shepard's Twitter account at PSHEP326.
But not 99.3 ESPN, nor the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.